This is the first number one for the number one bus.
This is the number one song for the number one bus. Taken by you, sung by us. This is the number one bus with the number one song. It's the top of the charts in a chart of 1, 2, 3, 4. First things first, establishing verse. The flagship service of Dorset First. From Portland Heights to Wayland Sands. When you see the bus, just put out your hand. Look out the window, Chesapeake Beaches right there. From White Creatures to Victoria Square. Passengers talk on a common theme. The roadworks serving the Olympic dream. This is the number one song for the number one bus. Taken by you, sung by us.
Hello and welcome to the November 2011 edition of the Portland Afoot Podcast, where we deliver news and stories on transit and low-car lifestyle. I'm Lillian, your producer.
I'm Michael, your editor.
And
I'm Jeff Gardelabini, your guest.
Today we're talking to minor Twitter transit celebrity Dr. Jeff Gardelabini. Well,
moderate.
Moderate. Twitter Rising. Transit celebrity Dr. Jeff. We're also discussing angry TriMet drivers.
We're discussing Dr. Jeff's going to tell us about his amazing commute and his amazing new project.
We're going to wrap up with the usuals, cute TriMet tweets, which is going to be a Dr. Jeff tweet only edition, and the only on a bus from this month. Thanks and enjoy.
To Eastern Bank to pay off a bill. Go into the garage because my car's been ill. The beige clad couple are a mystery. A German woman trucker who made history.
So our first news topic of the month is we're going to talk about this story that actually happened. It started on September 29th, and it's been trickling out since then. But it's just an amazing story that we couldn't look away from that broke last week. TriMet came out with a bunch of records that had been requested by the Oregonian and the Tribune about this driver called, her name is Claudine Hendren. She's a driver on the 57 right now, a bus operator there. So the She's got an amazing, amazing history that was explained in the newspapers this week. The average TriMet operator has 6 rider complaints per year. And so far this year, 148 of TriMet's operators have 0 complaints. Hendren has 40 complaints so far this year. Last year, she had 46 complaints. Over her 10 years, she's had 209, the spike in the last 3 years.
Nice.
Maybe she's just getting fed up.
She hasn't had a good 3 years.
She's had a terrible 3 years, and maybe she needs to go talk to Jeff, who's a psychologist.
Well, oddly, I've been riding the 57 for almost exactly 3 years, so...
Do you know this person?
Maybe you're the cause of it.
I could be the reason that he's having such a difficult
We've
time.
We've uncovered the root of this driver's...
So these are some of the complaints that she's received... On calls, operator humiliated and embarrassed a customer, yelled at her not ever to get on her bus again. Now, you know, that happens sometimes. Sometimes you have to yell at it. But again, 46 complaints. Here's some others. The operator yelled and yelled at customers and made a little girl cry. The operator made all the customers pay again.
What?
Can you do that?
The whole bus was as quiet as the grave. These are all different complaints. The whole bus was as quiet as the grave because anytime anyone tried to say anything, the driver would just yell at them. People on the bus call her the monster.
Just like my mom used to drive.
Have you ever encountered this driver?
I don't think I have. My driver on the 57 is the most professional, helpful, courteous guy ever. I'm always bummed when he's not driving because he's amazing. He will get off and help people put their bikes on. He's just patient and a great driver. So.
There's a huge difference between having a good driver and a bad driver in your experience, especially on the bus, obviously, but also on the MAX.
Yeah, there's plenty of room for difficulties on a bus ride, so having a bad driver is a bad way to go.
Yeah. She's a woman's in her 60s, and the Tribune found out whether she'd been disciplined. In fact, she had been required to go to counseling about customer service skills.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
It's kind of like anger management.
Is it really?
It doesn't.
Do they just show you slides about how you're supposed to have fun at work and be nice to people?
Probably show you some research that says that anger management is not exactly the most helpful.
Well, whether or not it was helpful, she went to it in February 2006, May 2006, November 2006, March 2007, May 2007, June 2009, September 2009, February 2010, January 2011, March 2011, April 2011, and July 2011. And now, a month after that last, or a few months after that last one, she had gotten this other trouble that happened to be in the media, and now TriMet says, oh, this is her last chance. We should say that in the Tribune, they talked to union official and bus operator Jeff Ackerson, who said that as a driver himself, he doesn't enforce a lot of the rules. Most drivers don't. He thinks that the folks that do enforce the rules are the ones that get the most complaints, and that she's one of them. And therefore, that she's one of the better drivers because she's enforcing the rules. They've trumped this up, he says, because it's in the press. Do you, you guys have any thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, I think this clearly did get blown up because it was in the press. Like, I have a feeling...
Why was it in the press?
Why was it in the press?
So this woman...
The thing
that happened on September 29th was that the operator was apparently being driven crazy by this... baby that was, or this two-year-old that was screaming for an uncertain length of time, and the driver went back, stopped the bus, talked to this young mother who was mostly a Spanish speaker, is my understanding, and said she had to get off the bus, or if she couldn't quiet her child, she had to get off the bus, and the mother was flustered, and so she called her partner, I think, and got off and got a ride.
But there's more to it than that.
Because the rest of the
passengers got off the bus
in protest.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not clear how many of them did, but there were at least several who were really pissed off about whatever happened. Whatever went down seemed really unright to the people there.
And I think as a former member of the working press, I would say that if you had an incident like that that caused half a busload of people to get off the bus, that's exactly the kind of stuff that should be covered by the press, because there's a systemic issue going on there.
Yeah, it sounds right to me. I mean, well,
I think what this ended up being is a lead-in to discuss TriMet complaints, which is interesting in and of itself that this is kind of the method. I don't think that this one driver, I think that there's a lot of TriMet drivers, these people that are at kind of the tail end of average complaints, these people that do get 46 and 45, I think the highest was like 85 or 60. Something.
Somebody 60. Has 60
Someone
year.
Has 60 complaints in 1 year. Like, those people are what the interesting story is about, but I don't think it's just this one woman. I mean, I think that she's sort of representative of this whole group of cranky drivers that have, you know, a union that's sticking out for them, so they're able to stick around.
I can feel for the drivers, though.
If you have a screaming child in the back of your bus and you're trying to drive,
yeah,
you know.
I got five kids. I know how to drive. But can you imagine what kind of a job that must be? That not all bus drivers have 50 complaints a year is probably kind of an amazing part of the story,
right.
too.
But the fact that TriMet sought fit to, like, take her, presumably at company expense, through all this repeated training, and it's apparently made no difference, and her complaints have just gotten worse, just seems to me that this is a case where she's just not suited for the job, is my assumption. Without speaking to her and seeing her on the job...
She should be just driving a Max.
Maybe that's
But that's
the
like the reward. Know. Here's what's interesting, is, like, the Max is the reward for good drivers, right? You have to be a bus driver for a really long time before you get to drive the Max. But I think the people... that might be perfectly good, perfectly safe drivers. We don't know her driving record, do we?
No.
But she might be a perfectly safe bus driver, which is great. Ideally, you want to get from A to B safely.
Right.
But should clearly be driving something where they don't have to interact with customers.
She does not have the temperament.
Right.
I think after your, 10th counseling session, you start thinking there's a personality issue going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm missing the career boat. I mean, with my TriMet thing, they ought to be doing counseling for drivers or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
It sounds like they just keep them coming back. It probably pays pretty well.
That's true. It's the gift that keeps on giving to psychologists.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this made me wonder if why do they have to get to the point where they're this angry and this cranky before we send them to counseling like a punishment? Why are we not like every 6 months having some sort of training for drivers?
You're talking about an entire workplace issue there, because so many workplaces could benefit from preemptive care like that. Just having somewhere that, the issue of her job satisfaction, how it feels to work and all that kind of stuff, and being on time pressure and everything. Think of all the different workplaces like that, where it'd be so nice for them just to have a chance to vent a little once in a while.
Well, they do have, I would love to know, actually. I don't know how the psychological coverage is in their awesome medical plans. Otherwise, almost totally free to go to any medical stuff.
Yeah. Right.
They would say, of course, it's always so expensive to put people on a benefit like that. But like, if that were, I don't know, if that were part of the contract, maybe they could
They must have something. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to stumble across the online secret forum where all the bus drivers hang out and talk about stuff? That's what I want to hear about.
Well, so every couple, like about twice a year, I get a very sweet little glimpse into the life of TriNet drivers. Breakfast on the Bridges, which serves breakfast to bike commuters and walkers on the bridge every last Friday of the month. I've been doing it for a long time, but we also did Breakfast in the Bullpen, which is where the TriMet drivers come from. And,
I didn't know that.
And they start at like 4 a.m. and we will go and serve. It's sort of a shift event. It's sort of just a group of bikers that really want to connect with TriMet drivers. And we'll get up insanely early and bring them donuts and coffee and just be there for them.
When did you do that?
We do it very occasionally. It's kind of, it was previously set up through Colin, who is the bike coordinator at TriMet, who's no longer there. Moved to Australia twice a year, maybe for a couple years going now. And it's great, but I feel like you get this like amazing secret glimpse into TriMet drivers. One, the ones that show up at 4 a.m. are much cleaner pressed and much like stand up much straighter than the ones that show up at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference. It's very,
if you're going to show up at 4, you're committed to your job.
Well, I thought that the 4 ones are the rookies, right? Because aren't those the crap runs?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe not. Maybe
doesn't Dan Christensen, the tweeting bus driver, doesn't he?
He does an early shift, early right? Shift? And he has a lot of seniority at TriMet, I believe, right?
He does extra service, so he's always moving around, I think. But I assume
he's extra board.
Moving along.
So we're actually going to move along to our special guest, Dr. Jeff, who tweets at Dr_Jeff, Dr. all spelled out as the word, and also blogs at TriMet Diaries. Is that every week? Every Monday?
It's kind of becoming every week, yeah. And then I've got another psych blog that I do as well. So
definitely the most elegant and literary portrayals of a early morning commute I've ever read on TriMet Diaries. And my favorite was a description of letting the MAX drivers know that they were the ones that grew up to drive the train and were all jealous. Yeah, and you have 500 Twitter followers and are very prolific on Twitter. Right?
Yeah, I may be a little too prolific for Twitter. I don't know where else to put it, so I guess that's where it's going.
Jeff, too prolific for Twitter.
My profile warns that I've finally accepted the fact that I tweet way more than most people. So if people can join me in that acceptance, then they're in. And I have 496 followers right now.
It was 500 this morning. I checked it.
Was it?
Yeah, you've gone up.
I lost 4 people then. I just looked.
Maybe Twitter doesn't always know exactly the number.
That might be true.
I think they get sick of my 14th tweet, what it feels like on the train, and they leave.
So Jeff tweets you tweet your commute, right? And
usually,
you have a substantially long commute.
It's pretty
every
long.
Day.
It's a couple hours. It's I walk over from...
One way.
A couple hours one way, yeah. I walk over from my home. I take it's about a mile over to the transit center, rain or shine. Get on the westbound blue line at about 6:15 in the morning. Get out to end of the line in Hillsborough, and then I hop on a 57. Get to work about 8, and then on the way back, I leave work usually at 5, and do the same thing in reverse. So it's a pretty good.
Why the heck do you live at 108th Street?
Why wouldn't someone want to live at 108th Street? One of the things is my fiance works in East Portland. My kids, what's really nice about it, I live in the Gateway area, and it's my kids are all bus kids too. One day I'll total up our miles for the month, but mine's right about 1,400 on TriMet, and I'll bet we're at a couple thousand if I added my kids in there because they go everywhere on the bus. So they can get where they want to go. The transit center's right there, 102nd, you know, Halsey, everything. And it would just, we can't move now. You ever tried to move 5 kids and 4 cats anywhere?
No.
Right.
We're stuck there for the rest of our lives, no matter what happens. So it's nice being in Northeast. I just like it there.
That's great. I live in Northeast, too. We're taping this at my place in Northeast.
And I live in Northeast, too.
Yeah.
But I don't live next to a transit center like both of these two do.
Yeah.
Yes, it's so great.
It's
the
really
super
helpful.
Frequent MAX, it's even better for me because I'm on this side of the Gateway, so I can get to the green and the red as well.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's what I do. I ride and tweet. So I guess I spend about 4 hours a day tweeting, which is equals, about 50 tweets or something like that.
But yours are so hilarious. We love it for it, you know. Yeah, that's funny. I actually thought I was following you for quite a while because TriMet Diaries retweets you so often.
Yeah.
And I was like, surely I'm following.
My pipeline to the masses is through TriMet Diaries. Yeah, I just got added as a regular contributor on the TriMet Diaries.
Very exciting.
I have my own login and everything. It's pretty neat. I called
so it means
mom.
You can post anything anytime you want?
I don't get to actually hit the post button. I haven't received that status yet. But I think regular contributor to TriMet Diaries is about as high as it's going to get.
I think...
How could you get anything more
really
impressive
love
than that, right?
Yeah.
Clearly, I think people that listen to this podcast might agree.
Yes,
so,
that's true.
Sort of a niche subject area. So that's your, I'm really intrigued in this because I also have a long commute, but I'm biking the whole time.
Yeah.
And, Michael, you know, is a huge proponent of having the free time that transit gives you. And I'm a huge proponent of, moving my legs. So,
I would actually, I've thought at times about that it would be nice to just stash a bike over in Hillsboro and ride to Forest Grove. That would be nice.
If you want to ride. I'll come with you one of these days.
Yeah.
If you want, I'll ride with you the last stretch.
Yeah, I would like to. I used to bike a ton, and it just gets... I mean, my day is so long that it's just really tough to think about adding a couple more minutes onto it. I mean,
right.
I leave the house at 6 in the morning, get home at 7 o'clock at night. It's tough to think about doing any more than that. Although I did get an email from a woman today who spends 4 to 7 hours per day either on TriMet or waiting for TriMet.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I think at that point, you should be able to run the agency. you accumulate 10,000 hours and let you take the agency over. I think that would be good.
They should at least give you vacation time, right? You
know? Yeah, absolutely.
Like, generally, you accrue after, like, 500 hours, you accrue, like, a week of vacation time. So.
And why don't they have, like they have on the airline perks, like a 100,000 mile card or something like that.
Right.
So I get on, and if someone's in my seat, I can just point at them and turn the car and they get off.
Right, the Max Avery comes in, you know.
Yeah, the driver
beer.
Comes out, gives me a snack,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Right.
They should all know me by now, right?
Oh my God, I wish the Max had flight attendants.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if they had stewardesses in Pan Am uniforms, particularly? Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. That would be great. Only with buses on them, like little buses.
They could hand a kid a little bus pin instead of...
Yes,
that would be good marketing.
Yeah. Okay, moving along.
Can you tell us about your project for the holidays?
Yes, it's called Holiday Fair. About a month ago, I guess. The history is kind of long. I used to have a blog a little bit on LiveJournal with all the 17-year-olds. And
Russians.
Which, in fact, with all the 17-year-old Russian girls. Yeah, that's not why I blog here. But I used to do a project in my blog there where I would just pick someone, a friend, who was in need. We paid off someone's library card one year. We fixed someone's power chair who wasn't able to get around otherwise, that kind of stuff. And I hadn't done that for a few years, and I thought it'd be kind of neat to do a holiday project again. And it just, when I was in private practice, I dealt with a lot of clients who were at the DHS and didn't have bus fare. They would always have to beg for tickets and stuff. So I thought, what a cool way to, you know, to do that. So what I do is I'm just collecting books of transit tickets, trying not to take cash because I'm trying to keep this as simple as I can, and passing them along to various social service agencies.
So how can people get tickets to you?
People can go to holidayfare, F-A-R-E, .blogspot.com, and there's plenty of information there. They can email me at drjeff, drjeff @gmail.com for info. Or, you know, just in the spirit of things, just drop a book of tickets off at their favorite social service agency, because I didn't even realize how high the need was. I mean, we did the first 10 to Yolanda House, a domestic violence shelter, and their list reads the top two, toilet paper and bus tickets are the top two on the list. The need is really, really strong. I could get a million tickets and it wouldn't be enough.
So I wanted to talk about this a little bit. I was sort of thinking about, like, just to play devil's advocate, like, there are lots of things that we can do with our charity budget, sort of personally. Why should we be the gift of some one ride on TriMet or 10 rides on TriMet? How much does a difference does that make in somebody's life? Is it the sort of thing that empowers them to sort of make a more permanent change, or like to, does it make some sort of structural difference in what's going on?
Well, I think if you think about it, if someone is unable to get to a job interview, if someone can't get somewhere to get a shower before a job interview, if a child has to drop out of school because he or she doesn't have any way to get to school, then it absolutely makes a big difference. And one of the things I think about charity is $25 to the American Cancer Society, while it's a lovely gift indeed, might not have the same impact that giving locally does. And I really like the thought of giving locally and giving people something that is ignored. I mean, when I ride the MAX, I think about how much privilege I have. The fact that any time I want to, I can go anywhere I want to and come home to a shower and a roof over my head.
Right.
And I think it just gets ignored. I think the basic need of transportation is, for a lot of people, as important as the need, you know, almost as getting food, being able to get around and earn a living or take your child to the doctor or whatever. So I like the giving local aspect of it as well.
I actually was thinking about, so if you get food stamps and you don't have a job in Oregon, they force you to go to this job fair class. And the job fair class, one of the benefits that you get out of it, which is the only reason I know that a lot of people I know show up, is because they give you a book of TriMet tickets.
Absolutely.
And it's meant for going to job interviews. But it's amazing how much difference that makes.
Yeah, the right to transit is a social justice issue for sure.
What are the organizations that you figured some others? You said you gave some to Yolanda House.
Yolanda House, next up, Outside In, because as someone who works with college students, I have, and just experiences from my past, I have a real soft spot for sexual minority and marginalized youth, homeless youth, so that's next. I have a friend who spends his time now, he's of independent means, and he spends his time driving veterans around, and he said there's quite a need there. So I think the next one is going to be maybe thinking about giving some to a veterans organization for them. And I've had a few interesting emails with some requests. So my original goal was to get 20 books of tickets.
How many have you gotten thus far?
Probably up to about a dozen, but I haven't had the Joe Rose effect yet. I have a feeling there's going to be a pretty good week in the mail for the tickets.
Right, and you're talking about the fact that you just got featured in the Oregonian.
I just got featured in the Oregonian on Saturday. My mom is so proud of me.
You got featured
for good stuff.
For twittering about writing.
Is that the weirdest thing in the world? Yeah. This whole thing, the fact that I'm sitting here on a podcast like this is just the strangest thing, how I got here. But yeah, I think I don't even remember exactly where I was going with that, but there's plenty of need.
You're getting contact from other folks.
Lots,
including people I went to high school with and stuff. So
nice.
That's kind of a neat little impact. So this I know what I was saying. That my goal was 20 books of tickets. When you think about it, that's like almost $500.
Yeah,
so
that's a pretty significant
cool
goal.
Amount. It's going to be well over that. So
yeah, that's actually. I think that is the. I think that's the key thing there, though. That 20 books of tickets is over $500. That really gives you an idea of how expensive TriMet really can be if you're living on the edge.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. It's beyond, like, I'm not willing to spend the money on TriMet.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot.
So go to holidayfair.blogspot.com
or give me an email, drjeff@gmail.com.
And he will get your contribution of tickets, not cash, just send the tickets and it'll be simple, straight to a deserving charity organization which will find the deserving people who need it the most.
And what people do is just go to trimet.org, buy the tickets and just have them mailed to me. A lot of people have been doing that and
that's
working great. So
nice.
Awesome.
Because they'll just deliver it.
Whatever address you put, just use your credit card, put my address in there and it shows up.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Thank you. I think we're going to move on to, actually, Portland Afoot is now doing
we've got a charity thing.
Thing,
too. So I wanted to go into that a little bit. We've got a new thing. So each month we're going to draw at random a paying subscriber to our news magazine, and they will get to choose what charity gets 2% of our ad and subscription revenue from the previous month. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a little blurb in each print issue saying, hey, this person won, they'll get to choose next month. And also, this is we're sending, you know, $40 or whatever to this organization at the choice of this other person. So I think that'll be a fun way to recognize our subscribers, to give back to the community a bit and measure with our success, and to give some free press each month to a charity worth knowing about.
21st century is pretty awesome.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Even if we still love my Portland Afoot being on paper, delivered by the U.S. Postal Service.
We can be in the 21st century on paper, too.
We got our first reader mail. This is very exciting. You know, Portland Afoot podcast exists a little bit in a vacuum for us, I think.
This is the fourth episode.
Fourth episode, and we finally have some reader mail. Nice. By the way, we love reader mail. You can email us at podcast@portlandafoot.org, or you can tweet at me, which is Anomalily, or Michael at Portland Afoot. And we love to hear back from you. It makes us happy. So, Kirk Paulson writes, I just listened to your latest podcast, and it was mentioned on there that TriMet is pushing the bike and rides because they are in the business of moving people, not bikes, instead of adding a bike car to the Max. However, from how I understand it, the reason they are not choosing a bike car for the Max is because the existing length of each Max train is already maxed out, pun not intended. The short block lengths downtown, which are great for many reasons, do not allow for any additional length to our existing Max trains, I believe. Yeah, Kirk is totally right. That's actually what I said in my very short summation of Portland can't have bike cars because we value development. Because the kind of the very historical argument for why we have short blocks in Portland is because corner lots get more money in development. So we wanted to have as many corners as possible when we were developing Portland in at the beginning of the 20th century and the end of the 19th century. And because of that, we now have a max that is quite short compared to really what capacity is at. How is capacity on your rides?
Capacity, it, you know, it's interesting because I...
You're pretty early.
I'm pretty early, but if I'm 15 minutes later, it's tough. But even by the time it gets to Gateway, it's tough to get a seat where I want to sit.
Mm.
So if I get on after 6:30, I stand up all the way to downtown, which is quite the testimony, I think, to how utilized that thing is on the way downtown. So it's pretty full, and it's full on the way home.
Wow. Yeah. Every time I ride the Max during rush hour, I'm surprised. Dr. Jeff is going to do a transit tip for us.
Yes.
You were talking about your place you like to sit.
Yeah.
Exactly. Here, that's how you do it in broadcasting, right? I just teased it a little bit. So. what I would say the best place to sit on the Max is, first of all, avoid the Type 4 cars entirely, the brand new ones, because they are uncomfortable everywhere.
And those are the totally flat ones.
Those are the bullet train looking trains.
Okay.
Yeah, the kind of sleek ones. They're pretty. If I'm actually not in a hurry, I will actually let those pass and wait for I swear to God, I'll wait for the next train to come on. They're super. And I'm 5'9". I'm not like a big guy, and they're cramped every single place you sit. But on the older cars, there's this row of five seats that face each other in the middle of the car. And what you do is you sit on one edge or the other of that row, and there's a little slot where you can put your bag or put whatever it is, plenty of leg room, and then you can stare at the five people across from you and play celebrity doppelganger at that point.
And tweet all about them.
That is absolutely the best place to sit on the Max.
I think, you know what, I think you're a more social creature than I am, because I never sit there, because I like to be in my own world and be focused on whatever I'm reading or writing or whatever.
Yeah, I am absolutely a more social creature than most.
I get up on the
sides.
Yeah, I get up on the raised portion on either side all the time.
Right, yeah, no, I like being right there in the middle, and it's just nice to have a place to put my bag. That's the main thing, is carrying
that's
that thing
good,
on
yeah.
my lap.
That's a really good point.
Is a problem the whole time. So.
Has anybody seen the amazing Your Bag Is Not a Person blog?
Absolutely, yeah.
it's a way of shaming people who use seats next to them for bags.
I photos of people who come on board and use three or four seats with bags and stuff, and so...
It's quite nice. I'm always standing with my bike, so I haven't ridden the Max without a bike in a really long time. So
it's quite an experience.
Should check it out.
Yeah,
one of these days. It doesn't really get me anywhere I need to go, unfortunately, at the moment. Yeah. So one day when the Max will be finished out to read. At some point, at that point, I will be graduated, unfortunately.
You can go back for alumni functions on the Max.
On the Max, yes. Perfect. I'm actually on the committee was working on trying to get a stop just slightly closer to Reed, but it ended up being next, so.
Well, and there's talk of eventually, I think there's actually a rail right-of-way that goes all the way out to Forest Grove, which would be amazing. But get this, one of the reasons that the founding fathers or the city fathers didn't want things going out there was that there would be gang activity.
Hmm.
And I thought, can you imagine some gang members sitting around in the house and they're like, let's go out to Forest Grove and get gang activity. Maybe not.
Yeah, Forest Grove is not the first place I think of.
Not a hotbed of violent gang activity.
Let's grab some televisions, let's walk over to the Max and put them on the Max.
Exactly. Gresham's a different story.
Right, back to Gresham.
Forest Grove, maybe not.
My transit tip of the month in honor of our new trip planner guide. This is designed by Alexis Grant, the local transportation advocate. She put together a great page about how to use the TriMet trip planners. And here's our tip. Trip planners actually don't, I don't know if you guys knew this, when you enter your trip in the TriMet.org planner thing, it doesn't include arrival data. So if the bus is off schedule, it will not capture that information. It's only based on schedule data. So if you're about to plan your trip home from your holiday gathering in the next 2 months and want to minimize your time standing in the cold, you should check not only the trip planner to find out how you're getting home, but also the arrival tracker to find out when the bus is actually going to come by, because it could totally destroy you.
Which is still an estimate.
Yes, which is still based on wherever the last time.
Take my word for that one.
That's true. But it's going to be less inaccurate, hopefully.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do some TriMet tweets. And this month, our TriMet tweets usually come from the plethora of the Twitterverse, but this time we got only our favorite Dr. Jeff tweets. So I'm going to read you some of those. Unless you would like to read.
I might read one or two, but hearing someone else read my tweets seems like something that I... once again, another pinnacle of my career right here, so I'm ready for this.
Should I use my, like, bedroom voice
for
it?
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Reading Dr. Jeff's TriMet tweets. Pulled into Beaverton Center just in time to see the westbound Orient Express pull out. Poriot flipped me off. Not funny, Hercule. I dare you to take your eyes off the fare inspector as he works the train. It's like watching people crouch under cars in The Walking Dead. I really like that one. The definition of misplaced trust, hanging your bike up on the max and then falling asleep with your back to it. Hashtag TriMet, hashtag free bike. You want to read some?
Sure. A problem with doing your deep breathing exercises on the bus is worrying that people might think that you're getting off on their shoes. Oh, sure, you let me read that one. This is what I'm going to finally be ashamed of my tweets after all this time. Two security guys on train at 6:45 a.m., TriMet, I've got some scheduling ideas for you. No one gets stabbed before 8. Only things I pull earbuds out for: operator announcements, sweet old ladies, and potentially fascinating insane conversations. Cars are such a pain. My transit pass costs me $3 a week, and if something breaks, TriMet has to fix it. Yeah, you can do those.
Was that a tweet shortly after you totaled your car?
Yeah. We totaled 2 cars in 4 months, so that's how much I love automobiles.
That's it. Oh, do you want
to
read some?
No, that's good.
Okay, that's all of our tweets for the month, and Michael is going to read the Only on a Bus.
Only on the Bus. This is from a story from Scott. He's a rider of the TriMet number 15, but as he says, it's no longer the 15. Here it goes. This goes clear back to when the bus in our neighborhood was called the 53. We were in our 20s. This is before the kids, almost 30 years ago. We've been here only a couple of years. That's part of it. Neither of us had lived in a place where we used a bus. So this guy gets on the bus. He's a big guy. Not just tall, he was big. Like a Chicago guy. There are 2 bars running down each side of the bus, right? And after he gets on, he reaches up and he slaps one hand on one of the bars. And he slaps the other hand on the other. Big guy. And he announces to the whole bus, I know what time it is! For a moment, it was sort of tense. Like, it's time for me to bust your head. Time for me to get... And there's a little bit of a pause. Downtown! Just like that. Downtown! And then he sits down. It's just where he was going, you know? It was time for him to get downtown. I think we laughed a little bit. This is one of those things that goes into your brain and stays there when you're fairly young. You remember music and funny things your friends said. Not that they don't say funny things anymore. We just don't remember them. Anyway, from then on, when Ellen and I heard somebody say, I know what time it is, one of us would say, it's time for me to get downtown. The kids, I think they never knew why. It could have been alcohol or mental illness, but you know, you never know about that stuff. It could have just been a big guy with a sense of humor. In that case, yes, he would probably enjoy that 30 years later, this couple he ran into is still laughing about it. I think people that stand up in buses and make announcements, they kind of expect to be remembered.
I call those the chin-up bars on the max, because I get on at by the Justice Center in Hillsboro at 5 when everyone, the overnight people are released for the day. And there's often someone who does their prison cell chin-ups on the bar on the Max over there.
Often?
Fairly often, yeah. And the other thing is a lot of, well, probably 5 or 6 times over the last year, I've seen women pull out a Ziploc bag with all their jewelry and personal effects and kind of reinstall everything. I think they give them a bus ticket when they get out of jail, and then their bag is stopped. So.
All right.
That is very interesting.
Awesome.
That was fun TriMet tip for people watching. Go to Hillsborough Justice Center at 5 p.m. So you've been listening to the Portland Foot Podcast. Anything you want to add, Dr. Jeff?
Holidayfair.blogspot.com.
And if you want to follow Dr. Jeff in many ways on the web, you can follow the TriMet Diaries blog, TriMetDiaries.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also follow him on Twitter, which is Dr. Whole Word _ Jeff. I'm Lillian Kerbake. I'm your producer.
I'm Michael Anderson. I'm your editor.
You can find me on Twitter at Anomalily.
You can find us on the internet at portlandafoot.org.
And we love to hear from you, so please send us some feedback. And enjoy your ride in this cold weather.
This is the number one bus. It's with Jeff and Sue. We keep the carbon copy, give the drawing to you. People use the bus every which way.
I usually take it probably near enough every day.
Gus and Sammy. David and Dave. Sean, Ricky Frost, Crazy Horse.
Our target for collisions and passenger injuries is zero.
You can mend your broken heart on the back seat. Put your headphones in and your sad songs on. Don't be sad, cause your family is mad. A 1 minute walk and you hit stone and sand.
Number one bus.
Catching the bus at the top of Easton and coming down the massive hill. Looking out over Lyme Bay is a perfect view, and you can see Lyme Bay. You can see the marina at Portland and over towards Weymouth. It's fantastic. That's a really special bit of the route, I think.
This is the number one bus with the number one song, which we made in one day. That's not very long. This is the number one song for the number one bus. This B-side song ends thus.